During our last session, we talked about the importance of cherishing our wife and what it means to cherish, to cover, to protect. And we also talked about the importance of a woman when she is discouraged with life and just the hormonal changes that take place in the cycle of a woman's life, that she needs to be remembered that she can make some decisions that will affect her emotions, like exercising and talking with someone else or writing down her thoughts. Now remember, when you begin to express your thoughts to people, it's important that we not dump on our children. It's important that we not dump on another person where they can't handle it because they might become reactionary to our mate. Or our children might begin to dishonor the husband because of the negative ideas the wife is giving. The best thing, obviously, is for the husband to assume his God-given responsibility and privilege of listening so she doesn't have to do the others. But that has to be done on a regular basis as we find out her need and her frustrations. So that's that area. Now, the seventh area is one of the most exciting because it's an area that's clearly defined in Scripture on what our responsibility is as humans towards one another, as individuals, and in actually motivating those around us and encouraging people in a certain way that we treat them. Now, here it is. The seventh area is learning how to comfort our mate tenderly. It's learning how to express comfort and tender-hearted understanding in the face of frustration or stress. Now, the actual idea here of the definition of comfort in the Scripture is when you and I tenderly draw near to the one needing help and we offer aid or help in the sense of being gentle, we touch, holding the person, like putting our arms around our wife, and understand what they're going through in their frustration. Now, for a man, he needs to have his wife understand. When I'm frustrated about my work or something I'm doing, I need to have Norma understand me. What I don't want is a lecture. Now, I don't need Norma's arm around me. You know, I would resist that. But I really appreciate when she understands it. Do you know that that's exactly what it says in Scripture when it talks about in Colossians, the third chapter, verses 8 and 12? Verse 8 says, put off our old nature, our old abusive nature, our old lecturing nature, angry ways, the ways that are natural for man. And then in verse 12 it says, put on the new man, the man that Jesus Christ wants us to be. See, God gives us the power to become His children. And when He gives us His grace, we don't have to earn salvation. It's a gift. We don't have to earn our way through life with Jesus Christ. It's a gift to us if we receive it. But after we receive it, then we look at the Word to find out how we're to pattern our life. Because He gives us the power to do this. So that even if I don't feel like it, I can actually take off my old ways and put on a spirit of tender comfort, compassion, with my arms around my wife. If I can do that, no matter how I'm feeling. You know what is typical for a lot of couples? The wife will say something like this. I can't handle this anymore. I mean, the kids are driving me up the wall. This place is a mess. I can't seem to keep it going. I'm just drained as a person. I just don't know what to do. I've got to have help. You know what the average analytically minded man will do? He'll start giving her help right on the spot. Because it makes sense, doesn't it? If you're asked for help to give help, you know, if your wife says, I need help, would you help me? I start helping. I say, well, honey, are you still taking those vitamins? You know, are you still jogging like you said you were going to? Are you getting your rest? Honey, if you were only more organized, then you wouldn't be so frustrated. Let me help you get organized. I used to have my wife sit down. We'd go through a little session. Honey, now here's a couple of things you need to do. You know what it was doing to her? Draining her of her energy. She resisted it. And I never could understand. I had a high school principal say to me one time, Gary, if you can help me understand why is it is my wife asked me for help, and then she stiff-arms me and doesn't let me help her. What is she doing? I said, she's not asking for your help. Even though analytically it sounds like she's asking for your help, she isn't. She's giving you an emotional message. She's telling you she's frustrated. She's stressful. She's uptight. She doesn't want our lip. What she wants is tender, compassionate understanding with our arms around her. Gently saying, honey, you're really hurting, aren't you? This really upsets you, doesn't it? That's what she wants. And the strength that she gains when we give that to her strengthens our relationship. You know what she gets when we lecture her? She drains. It doesn't motivate her. especially if we get angry. If she says, well, honey, I just can't handle this anymore. Well, for heaven's sakes, can't you keep this place under control? I've told you, you know, and then all that does is cause her spirit to close and your relationship to look like a broken plant. And it just doesn't encourage to lecture. So, what I am discovering in Scripture, and I'm interviewing wives, hundreds of them all across the country, they say to me, Gary, what I need from my husband, and if I had my choice, what I would take is for him to enter into an understanding of where I'm frustrated and hurting and just be tender with me and listen. That's what they really want. Now, how does a man really learn how to comfort his wife? You see, as he's learning how to comfort her, the reason he wants to do that, because it actually gives strength to her. He wants to do it because 1 Peter 3:7 says that a woman is the weaker vessel, the one that's involved in the fragile, sensitive, and she's almost like a crystal, and we have to be careful with her. Doesn't mean that she can't be hardened up, you know, and become more calloused, and a lot of relationships are like that. But what God wants is for her to be as sensitive as He created her. And that's important. So, how does a man actually start learning how to comfort his wife? Well, the first thing he needs to do is he needs to discover when she needs to be comforted. Now, every wife here is a little bit different. You know, they're similar in many ways, in temperament and in your basic makeup, emotionally and physiologically. But every woman is a little bit different and unique, so that you're like different kinds of flowers. One particular flower you have to do this with, another kind of flower you have to do something different with. And so every husband can discover what his particular wife needs in the area of comfort. And we can put that on even if we don't feel like it. Like one time, I remember Norma was encouraging us to buy a boat, so I purchased this used boat for our family. As their children are coming into the teenage years, we decided that we would do that and enjoy one another skiing and different things, fishing. And so I bought this used boat and took it out in the lake, and it almost sank, and the guy hadn't put the plug in right, and it wouldn't run. So the next day I took it back. And when I was coming home, I was a little bit late, running late, and I hadn't called Norma because she was needing to go to the store to get some food for some company we were having that night. And I was just later than I should have been. And when I arrived into the driveway, there was our mini mobile home parked in the back of the house section in the driveway area, parked in an angle with a great big hole in the top of it and a big section of our roof laying in the driveway. She had sheared off this big section of our roof. She tried to turn it around the back, and she tried to go to the store, you know, and she didn't realize that the outside is a lot wider than the camp, see? Now, I sat there in the driveway thinking to myself, Smalley, you know what to do. Now, you can either strengthen your marriage relationship right now or tear it down. Now, what do you naturally feel like doing? I naturally felt like getting angry, saying, oh, brother, this is the last thing I felt like doing on a Saturday afternoon. I first thing came to my mind, $500. Oh, brother, you know, where'd she learn to drive anyway? And I might have, you know, nature might have gone out to say something like this. Where'd you get your driver's license anyway? Sears and Roebuck? You know, those might have been the natural things that would come to my mind. But, see, we don't have a whole lot of time to make these decisions. She wasn't in view. And so I'm thinking to myself, Smalley, what do you teach? Get it down. You know, the seventh area you talk about is comforting your wife in times of frustration and stress. Well, now's your chance. So I got out of the car, and I walked towards the house, and Norma came running around the side of the house. And she says, oh, honey, look what I did. Now, I know they're already feeling terrible, much worse than I feel. That's what they tell me. And so a lecture doesn't make them feel better. It makes them feel worse. And saying to them, honey, you've got to learn to drive this thing. I had my accidents. You know, I have no place where I can say anything to her at that time. Plus, it's not the time to say anything. So I just walked up to her and put my arms around her and said, honey, you're feeling terrible, aren't you? She said, yes, I feel horrible. Look at this thing. It's a mess. She said, I told the neighbors across the street, and they're watching to see how you're responding. And I just held her. Now, I have to admit that initially, just by holding her and being tender, I didn't feel like doing that. I wanted to get upset. I wanted to stomp my feet, you know, and say, look at this mess. Look at this puzzle. You know, that's what I wanted to do, and the significant factor here is that it began to teach me that I don't have to react just because I feel like it. I can be comforting. We walked into the house. I kept my arm around her. We sat on the couch for a while, just listened to how she felt. After about 5 minutes, she felt better. I felt better. I walked outside, looked at the roof, you know. Just then a man from our church pulled up and with his pickup, had his ladder and saw and hammer and says, let's get at it. And I said to the Lord, where'd he come from? You know, and somebody had told him about it already. And we had that thing repaired and painted within 2 hours. And I thought to myself, just think, I could have stepped all over the spirit of my wife through my anger, through my irresponsibility, through a cute comment. You know, you don't even have to say anything to your wife. You can just look at her. Your facial expressions tell her everything. Look in the mirror sometime. See how your facial expressions. For a long time, Norm used to say to me, Gary, you're so angry with the children. I said, I'm not angry. She said, look in the mirror. I looked in the mirror and I looked angry. See? Facial expressions say it all. I could have just really strained our marriage that day. But God, through His Word, tells us to comfort one another. 1 Peter 3:8, the verse that follows, our responsibility of understanding our wife, talks about the importance of learning how to comfort each other. Now, I need that too, wives. I need to be comforted, understood, but I don't need your arm around me. But I don't need a lecture from you. But see, that's the significant thing is that we can find out when she needs to be comforted. Okay? The second area of comforting our wife is that we need to learn to detect her distress signals. Now, do you know that a woman has at least 250,000 facial expressions? UCLA studied the facial expressions of women. They actually have a book on this. You can get it. They have them all recorded. And you talk about a woman being able to communicate facially. They can tell us almost everything we want to know. You watch a woman's eyes and her lip muscles and her facial expressions. Every time you say something, there's so many muscles in our face that actually say what you're really saying. So when a man starts looking at his wife, and especially during times of stress, he can find out what she needs just by being observant. That's what God wants us to become, sensitive to the Holy Spirit, sensitive to life. And we can do that. And we need to know what to do during these times. One time we were coming home from a church function, and it was at night, and we dropped off and had some donuts we purchased, and we were just driving into the driveway, and we were going to have a little kind of family time together. And here come our favorite cat down the driveway. It was at nighttime. The lights were on her. And Norma said, watch out for Puff. And I said, he'll get out of the way. Now, Puff was our favorite cat. Everybody loved Puff but me. You know, I used to kick Puff when he tried to get out of here, type of thing, you know. And Norma would always say, don't be mean to Puff. The kids would all feel bad. I didn't even realize that you kick Puff, it's like kicking Norma, you know. I mean, she loved that cat. And it seemed almost human, jump up in the kid's arm, you know, and just sort of hug him. But I had nothing good to say about Puff. And never let him in the house. And so I said, Puff will get out of the way. Thud. Puff didn't get out of the way. I ran over Puff. Well, I want you to know the noise that I heard in the car and the chaos that broke out into our car. It was incredible. In fact, I was accused of things that would have put me in prison. And the kids filed out of the car on the ground were crying. And you know what? I remembered this seventh principle. And the scripture says, even a fool is considered wise when he keeps his mouth shut. See, there were a lot of things that came to my mind. I could have said, hey, I'm not a murderer. You know, I didn't mean to do that. I don't deserve this kind of treatment. I need more respect. But I recognize in a time of frustration and tension like this, people say a lot of things, express themselves especially. When it's all the things that I used to say about Puff kind of came back around the time to haunt me there. And so all I did was get out of the car and I just sort of herded the family into the house because I knew the neighbors thought I was killing them, not Puff. And I got him in the house and Carrie immediately, Michael was on the floor crying and Carrie was leaning over him, patting him, saying, Mikey, it was Puff's time. And I was going into the bedroom with Greg and trying to comfort him. And all I was doing is listening. I was holding each member of the family who would let me hold them. I came back from Greg and I met Carrie in the hall. She said, well, Dad, it was Puff's time. Let's go have our donuts. I said, oh, Carrie, you know, I can't have donuts. But I was encouraging her and hugging her. And then I noticed that the bedroom door was closed. Well, that's nonverbal communication. But I checked the doorknob and it was open. It wasn't locked. And that's nonverbal. And so I opened it up and there was Norma sitting in there, lights on. And she was really hurting over this experience. And so I walked over next to the bed, knelt down next to it, and I grabbed her hand. Now, it was warm and responsive. That's a good sign. And not a nonverbal stuff there. See, nothing needs to be said at this point. And I just said to her, "You're really hurting, aren't you?" She said, "Yes." And I said, "You know, Puff really meant a lot to you, right?" And I said, "You know, she said, "I know you didn't mean to run over Puff." And I see, I need comfort too, but I was going to initiate the comfort. So she said, "I know you didn't mean to do that." And I said, "You know what? Let's just make Puff's mother, Angel, an inside cat. How about that?" She said, "That'd be great." So I went out and got, and I didn't realize how clean they were and so on. But it was just a few months later that our realtor ran over Puff's mother. And so we've had sort of a rocky time. We have a new one now that seems to be doing okay. And most of our things don't make it too long. But anyway, during those times, you see, there's a real need to be able to decide over our natural feelings and over our natural tendencies to reach out with comfort, no matter what we're feeling. The third way of really comforting our mate is to discover what she prefers when she is distressed. What does she prefer? Like as a wife, do you prefer to have your husband's arm around you right away? Let's say just after he's offended you. You know, a lot of wives don't want that. If you're offended, your spirit closes, you don't want to be touched. Maybe it's a few minutes or an hour or so. Then you might be able to receive. But you see, we don't know that kind of thing. You need to let us know lovingly and gently with us, because if you don't tell us, you know, we won't know what to do. I have a lawyer friend of mine that somehow in their legal training they learned to discuss and debate, you know, and it's difficult for them sometimes to get involved in a conversation with their wife where they're talking about, "You always do this, you never do that," kind of thing, because they get involved in this big legal, they're in the courtroom, see, and this is their final discussion and they want to win this case. And oftentimes what it does is cause their spirit of the wife to close up, and they're not always aware of that. So anyway, this one wife, he just didn't seem to be able to do this kind of thing. And I said to her one night in one of our marriage groups, I said, "What would you do if your husband, just after he'd offended you through some insensitive word or comment, he came over to you and just put his arms around you and comforted you and said, 'Honey, what I just said was wrong. I could see that it really hurt you. You're hurting, aren't you? And just keep your arm around her for a few seconds and just tell her, honey, how do you put up with me anyway? You know, you ought to have a medal.'" I said, "What would you do if he did that?" And she immediately said, "I'd call the police." And I said, "Well, why would you call the police?" And she said, "Because I would know that there was an imposter in my home. There's no way he'll ever do that." And he said, "Yeah, that's right. She's right. I'll never do that." You know what? He's doing that today. He's putting on the nature of Christ by learning how to comfort his wife. Their relationship is so much better, so improved. They still have their times because they had a lot of rocky times. But they are learning to love each other. And he's learning to do, no matter what his feelings are. You see, you actually have to ask your wife. See, I came from a home where I didn't see a lot of hugging. I'm the last of six children. I don't ever remember any of the members of our family showing affection. I never remember my father showing affection to my mother, like putting his arm around her, just tenderly and loving her. I remember a lot of arguments at the dinner table where he'd grab his napkin, throw it down, and say, "I'm getting out of here. There's no respect around here." And we'd all say, "Yeah, go ahead, get out of here." Okay. That's what I remember. Okay, then I get married. There's no wonder I don't know what to do. There's no wonder a lot of guys don't know what to do, because we didn't get any training. But we can learn this. And our wife can help us learn it by letting us know what you need. Every woman in this room can teach every man what she needs in this area of being comforted. Like, how long do you need to be held? 60 seconds? How? Some of us don't even know how to hug. You know, some of these football players I work with, you know, they grab their wife and hug them. They have to go to the chiropractor, you know, practically the next day. And we really don't know what to do and how long. See, we feel inadequate. But if you put us down in our attempts, well, that doesn't help. You know, or let's say we're laying in bed and one of those times where you're no touchy the toes and you're not speaking and you say to your wife, "Honey, what did I do?" And you say, "Well, if you don't know, I'm not telling you. How many years do we have to be married anyway before you're going to figure this out?" If you say that to us, you see, that's dishonoring. We don't know what... If we ask you what we did, we mean it. We don't know what we have done. And you're thinking to yourself, "Well, it's so obvious," because you pick everything up. And you're much more interpersonally related, so you see that stuff. So when we ask, you tell us. I had one couple, she said, "I just turned my back to him, and he tried to respond to me, and I just said, 'Don't touch me.' And then he said, 'What do you want me to do?' And she said, 'If I have to tell you, it'll wreck the whole thing.'" You see, there is a woman who doesn't dwell with her husband in understanding. If you don't tell us, very few of us get postcards telling us how to do this. You know, unless we're in the Word and really understanding what it means. So wives, help us learn how to comfort you. Because it's such a super important area in the marriage relationship. Now, this is the same thing applies to our children. I remember the time that I was fishing in the Colorado Mountains. And I tend to lose consciousness of life when there's a big stream or, you know, a lot of fishing holes. And I just sort of get involved in that world. The challenge of catching the most trout and the biggest, you know, I just love that kind of thing. And anyway, I told the kids, you go downstream, I'm going upstream. And you're on your own. If you get tangled up, you know, sorry. And so I went upstream. Just a few minutes after catching a few trout in this beautiful hole, here comes Greg running up the stream. Dad! I said, Greg, get out of this thing. You'll scare these fish. And he comes around this big boulder and yells across the stream, Dad, Carrie broke her leg. I went, oh, no, of all the times you break your leg. And so I rushed across the stream, go down there and find out her leg just bruised. And I asked her to keep it in the river for a while to soak it because it's real cold water. See, it's good. Cold water is good for a bruise. And I went back up, and I'm ashamed of this, but I went back up and caught another trout. Came back down. I drag her out of the hole, you know. Said, come on, let's go up and get you back to the camper. And I'm dragging up the hill, and she's saying to me, Dad, slow down. You're being so harsh. You're being so rough with me. She was right. I stopped dead in my tracks. What Carrie needed was my comfort. She needed understanding. She needed me to value her. Instead, I wanted to get back to the fish. See, I was valuing the fish more. So I just stopped, put my arms around her, and hugged her and said, Carrie, you are so right. I am more excited about these fish right now than you, but that's not the way I really feel. I love you far more than streams and mountains, and I want you to know you're far more important. And you're right. And I want to be tender with you. And I'm just holding her. She breaks out of my arms and looks up in my eyes, and she said, Dad, did you use deodorant today? Now, there's sometimes you can give comfort and there's sometimes you can't, see? But anyway, we need to know how a woman or how our children appreciate being comforted. You know, that's one of the reasons why when you become wise as a husband and you ask your family, sometimes one at a time, I take my children out on special date times, just special outings, just the two of us. And I ask them things like, how's it going? What do you need that I'm not giving you? Now, that's the greatest area that I'm told by ladies that they love and appreciate in their husband.